today's core question is whether AI capability can be trusted once it becomes a reusable system. Not trusted in the sense of a leaderboard score, and not trusted because one demo looks smooth. Trusted because the surrounding workflow can preserve expert knowledge, test multi-step failure modes, and route local or hosted models with evidence instead of vibes.
That is the right frame, because the strongest items today are not isolated launches. They are pieces of a system story. Trail of Bits is turning a C++ security checklist into a Claude review skill. Mosaic Bench is asking whether coding agents can compose safe-looking tickets into vulnerable applications. Google is trying to make Gemma inference faster. And a measurement paper is reminding us that a model name is not the same as a service you can rely on.
So the promise for this episode is a short radar first, then a deeper pass on what trustworthy capability means for Chris's stack. We are going to keep the claims grounded. We are not treating a checklist skill as magic, and we are not treating a speedup claim as automatically true for every runtime.
Exactly. The useful takeaway is more operational than celebratory. If an agent is going to help review code, it needs durable expert scaffolding. If an agent is going to write code, it needs end-to-end evaluation, not just per-turn screening. If a local model is going to serve a workflow, it needs measured latency, context behavior, cost, and reliability at the root level.
But start with the Trail of Bits item. What changed there?
Trail of Bits published a solution walkthrough for its C and C++ checklist challenges, and the important extension is that the checklist is tied to a Claude skill called C Review. The skill turns checklist knowledge into bug-finding prompts for code review. That matters because it is a concrete example of expert review practice becoming agent usable procedure.
The word checklist can sound small. Why is this one more interesting than a generic list of secure coding tips?
Because the post uses specific bug classes and specific examples. One Linux ping example centers on a networking routine that returns a pointer to a global buffer. That can create a validation bypass when the code assumes it is working with independent values. Another example is a Windows driver registry handler where a missing type checking flag can move from local denial of service toward a kernel write primitive.
That makes it feel less like a style guide and more like a test harness for attention. The agent is not being asked to look for bugs in the abstract. It is being given a set of patterns, failure modes, and review questions.
Right. The durable knowledge is the main point. You can imagine a Hermes workflow where the memory is not a blob of old chat logs. It is a version checklist with examples, expected bug classes, and review prompts. That is more auditable. It can be improved. It can be tested against a vulnerable code corpus instead of becoming hidden prompt lore.
What should stay provisional?
The workflow is promising, but it does not prove vulnerability coverage. A Claude skill can organize the review, but the skill still has to be evaluated. It can miss bugs, overfit to examples, or create a false sense of coverage. The practical stance is to treat it as a review aid with structure, not as a replacement for expert security review.
The second radar item is Mosaic Bench, and it feels like the mirror image of that story. Trail of Bits is about making agent review more expert-guided. Mosaic Bench is about agents creating harm across apparently harmless steps.
That is the tension. Mosaic Bench is a benchmark for compositional vulnerability induction. The premise is that an agent might receive a sequence of individually innocuous engineering tickets, comply with each one, and still produce a vulnerable end state when those changes compose. That is very relevant to agentic coding, because real workflows decompose work into tasks.
What does the paper claim to test?
The abstract describes 199 three-stage attack chains, deterministic exploit oracles, 10 web application substrates, 31 common weakness classes, and 5 programming languages. The headline claim is that 9 production coding agents from major model providers composed safe-looking tickets into exploitable outcomes at high-end to end rates, with very few refusals across staged runs.
I want to be careful with those exact percentages. They are interesting, but this is a new paper. The more durable insight may be the evaluation shape.
I agree. The evaluation shape is the part to carry forward immediately. If your safety check only looks at the current prompt, it may miss the system being assembled across several turns. For coding agents, the unit of evaluation should be the resulting software behavior, not just the apparent intent of each ticket.
How does that connect back to a Hermes-style agent workflow?
It says that task decomposition is not neutral. If the orchestrator breaks work into safe-looking subtasks, the final artifact still needs integration tests, security tests, and maybe adversarial review. In other words, the parent agent cannot delegate responsibility away just because each child task looks benign in isolation.
Now shift to local inference. Google says it has multi-token prediction drafters for Gemma 4, with the claim of up to 3 times faster inference. What is the practical read?
The practical read is that draft model speedups can move a model family from interesting artifact toward usable root. Gemma 4 is positioned for developer workstations, mobile devices, and cloud. If the speedups reproduce in the runtime stack Chris actually uses, they can change which tasks are reasonable to keep local, which tasks should go to a hosted endpoint, and where a hybrid route makes sense.
The phrase, up to 3 times faster, is doing a lot of work.
It is. That claim should be treated as context-dependent. Runtime, hardware, prompt length, output length, quantization, and batching can all affect the result. The useful next action is not to believe the maximum number. It is to reproduce the measurement in the candidate stack, for example, LAMA TFP BMLX VLLM, or whatever root is actually in the loop.
The HN reaction around Gemma adds an interesting service design question. People were not only asking whether the model is good, they were asking why Google is not more aggressively making Gemma feel like a hosted service.
And that is where the hosted, open white paper becomes useful. The paper argues that production users consume provider-specific services, not just name model artifacts. The same model name can mean different protocol behavior, context capacity, pricing, latency, throughput reliability, and task feasibility depending on the provider.
So, run Gemma or run Llama is not a complete routing decision, so...
Exactly. It is a starting label. For an operational router, the service object is richer. Which provider, which endpoint behavior, what context window, what price, what latency distribution, what reliability, what task fit, and what failure modes. That paper's framing is especially useful because it separates the model artifact from the service you actually depend on.
That seems important for local inference too. A local root can be a service with its own behavior, not merely a model sitting on disk.
Yes. Local routes have service attributes, queuing, warm-up time, context handling, memory pressure, throughput, and fallbacks. If Hermes records only the model name, it loses the information needed for future routing. If it records service-level observations, it can route based on what actually happened.
The fifth radar lane is benchmark posture. We have SPEC CPU 2046 on one side and an edge device language model benchmark on the other. Why include those in a briefing that is mainly about agents and local inference?
Because they both push against benchmark vibes. SPEPU 26 is a new major CPU benchmark suite after a long gap, and it will shape hardware comparisons. The Edge Language Model paper evaluates 25 open-source models for social robot deployments using measures such as inference efficiency, energy consumption, domain knowledge, and teaching quality. Different task surfaces need different measurements.
That avoids the trap where someone sees a model card, a hardware score, or a launch post and assumes it answers their deployment question.
Right. A workstation root, a Raspberry Pi root, a browser embedded root, and a hosted API are different products even when a model name overlaps. The benchmark that matters is the one tied to your workload, your latency budget, your power budget, and your quality bar.
Let's bridge the radar into the deep dive. The common thread is that AI capability becomes trustworthy only when the surrounding system records and tests the right things.
That is the deep model. Trail of Bits gives us an example of expert knowledge becoming an executable review procedure. Mosaic Bench gives us an example of why multi-step outcomes need to be tested. Gemma speedups show why local routes can become newly practical. The hosted service paper says the route has to be measured as a service. The benchmark items say the measurement has to fit the deployment.
Let's slow down on the Trail of Bits item as the concrete anchor. If Chris were turning this into an agent workflow, what would the design principle be?
The principle would be, convert expertise into a versioned artifact that agents can use, but keep it testable. A checklist-backed skill is valuable because it is inspectable. You can ask what bug classes it covers, which examples justify it, how it should be invoked, and what evaluation corpus proves it is helping.
That sounds like a different kind of memory. It is not remember that I like security. It is, here is the checklist, here are the example failures, here is the invocation path, and here is the test suite.
Exactly. In durable agent systems, memory should often be procedural. It should say how to do the work, what mistakes to look for, and how to verify the result. A code review skill is a good candidate because security review has recurring patterns. The checklist gives the agent a scaffold, and the examples keep the scaffold from being empty.
The Linux example is a nice cautionary case because the bug depends on a detail that can look boring.
It does. A routine returning a pointer to a global buffer is not a dramatic language model story, but it is exactly the kind of detail review processes exist to catch. If the code assumes it has two independent string values, and it actually has two references to the same underlying buffer, the logic can be wrong in a way that matters for validation.
And the Windows driver example raises the stakes.
Yes. The missing registry type checking flag can let an unexpected value type flow into a path that was written for another type. The briefing describes the risk as moving from local denial of service toward a kernel write primitive. The lesson is not that every checklist item is catastrophic. The lesson is that small API contract assumptions can become serious security issues in privileged code.
How should an agent be prompted around that kind of material?
The prompt should not ask for a generic find vulnerabilities sweep. It should ask targeted questions tied to the checklist. Which APIs return shared or global state? Which values are validated before being reused? Which platform flags enforce type assumptions? Which code paths turn bad input into privileged writes? That gives the model a structured search space.
What would you use as the first evaluation before trusting that skill in a real repo?
I would start with known vulnerable examples and clean controls. The skill should find the bugs it is supposed to find without hallucinating vulnerabilities in control cases. Then I would test it on historical patches where the bug class is known. Finally, I would compare it against human review notes or static analysis output. Not because the model should replace those tools, but because you want overlap misses and false positives documented.
Mosaic Bench adds the other half, evaluating the agent when it is not reviewing code, but producing code over time.
Yes, the key idea is compositional risk. An agent can be asked to add a feature, adjust validation, change a dependency, or modify a route, and each request may look acceptable. The vulnerability can appear only when the sequence is complete. That is a system-level failure, not a single-turn refusal failure.
That means a parent agent should not mark a delegated coding task safe merely because no child saw an obviously malicious instruction.
Correct. The parent needs an integration-level review. What changed across the whole patch set? Did a later step weaken an earlier guard? Did separate changes combine into an unsafe path? Did the final application become exploitable? The benchmark's strongest contribution is making that question explicit.
I can imagine this changing how we structure Kanban or subagent work. A worker can finish a narrow issue, but the parent still has to evaluate the aggregate diff.
That is the implication. Agent orchestration needs gates at the boundary between tasks. A completed task is not automatically a safe system. The parent should preserve enough context to understand the sequence, run tests that exercise the combined behavior, and ask a reviewer skill to inspect the final artifact.
Now connect that to local inference. If local models get faster, there is a temptation to use them everywhere. What should slow us down?
Service behavior. Faster local inference is useful, but it does not answer whether the local route is reliable enough, whether it handles the needed context, whether it preserves privacy in the right way, or whether it produces the quality required for a task. Gemma's draft model acceleration is a reason to test local routes, not a reason to delete route policy.
The hosted open weight paper gives us language for that. The model artifact and the service object are different.
Right. Suppose two endpoints both advertise the same OpenWhite model. One has a larger context window, one has lower latency, one has better uptime, one silently changes behavior, and one is cheaper for the same workload. From the user's perspective, those are not the same service. A root manager should know the difference.
What should Hermes store if it wants to make that distinction durable?
At minimum, model name, provider, endpoint, context capacity, observed latency, observed throughput, failure rate, price or cost proxy, task class, and notes about formatting or protocol compatibility. It should also remember evaluation results, which route worked well for summarization, which route failed structured output, which route was too slow for interactive use, and which route was acceptable for background work.
That turns routing into a memory problem again.
It does. The memory is not sentimental, it is operational. If yesterday's local model was slow under a long context, the router should not rediscover that every morning. If a hosted endpoint behaved differently from the model artifact's reputation, that observation should persist as service metadata.
Benchmark posture matters here because a bad benchmark can create false confidence.
Yes. Spec CPU 26 will be useful for CPU comparisons, but it is not an LLM-serving benchmark by itself. The Edge Social Robot paper is useful because it ties language model evaluation to a deployment surface with energy use, inference efficiency, and task quality. The general principle is to measure what the system needs, not what is easiest to quote.
Let's talk about the watchlist posture. Which items are read, now versus monitor?
Read trail of bits first, because it is the most actionable workflow artifact. Read Mosaic Bench because it changes how to think about coding agent evaluation. Read the Gemma post if local inference routes matter this week. Bookmark the hosted service paper because it supplies a durable framework. Bookmark the benchmark items for hardware and edge measurement context.
What about the Chrome and Gemini Nano consent discussion that showed up in the intake pool?
It is relevant as an adjacent governance signal, but it needs stronger primary corroboration before it should become a main story. Browser-embedded AI raises real consent, local processing, and policy questions, but the briefing correctly kept it as watchlist context rather than letting a noisy item dominate the day.
That is a good example of topic-fit discipline. A source can be interesting and still not belong in the top story.
Exactly. The core topics today are agent orchestration, durable knowledge, and local inference. The Chrome item can bridge into local AI governance, but without stronger source grounding, it should not displace the clearer current lanes.
If Chris only has time to act on one thing, what should it be?
Convert the trail of bits idea into a small experiment. Take a checklist-backed review prompt, run it against a known vulnerable sample in a clean control, record what it catches, and treat the result as a candidate durable skill. That is concrete, bounded, and directly relevant to agent memory.
And if there is time for a second action?
Define service-level metadata for local and hosted LLM routes. Even a simple table would help. Provider, model, context, latency, task fit, cost, reliability, and notes. The hosted service paper makes the case that this is not administrative trivia. It is the operational object the user actually consumes.
I want to unpack the checklist idea one more layer, because it is easy to underestimate. A checklist-backed skill is not just a prompt with a better title. It changes who owns the review standard.
That is important. In a normal ad hoc prompt, the review standard lives inside the model's temporary reasoning. In a checklist-backed skill, the review standard is externalized. Humans can read it, revise it, compare it against incidents, and ask whether the model actually followed it. That makes the agent less mysterious, even if the model itself remains probabilistic.
There is also a maintenance question. If the checklist changes, the agent workflow changes. That sounds obvious, but it is a much cleaner update path than hoping an assistant remembers a correction from a chat.
Yes. It gives the system a patch surface. If one class of C or C++ issue is missing, you patch the checklist or the skill. If a prompt produces too many false positives, you patch the examples or the instruction. If a platform-specific API hazard matters more this month, you elevate it. That is how durable knowledge becomes operational rather than archival.
The same patch surface idea applies to Mosaic Bench. If the benchmark exposes a multi-step failure pattern, the workflow can add a review gate specifically for composition.
Exactly. The benchmark is not only an accusation against coding agents, it is a design hint. It tells orchestrators to ask after a sequence of tasks, what is the final security property of the application? Did later work undo earlier validation? Did a harmless-looking request create an input path that another harmless-looking request later exposed? Those questions are reusable.
That changes how I think about child agents. A child agent can complete a task correctly and still contribute to an unsafe final system.
That is the uncomfortable part. Local correctness does not imply global safety. The parent needs a synthesis step that treats the combined artifact as new evidence. In coding work,
there is a nice symmetry there. One agent builds, another reviews, but the review is not generic. It is constrained by a durable checklist and by known composition risks.
That is the pattern I would test. Implementation agents are good at moving through tasks. Review agents need structured suspicion. They should be prompted to look for specific classes of failure, to preserve uncertainty, and to produce artifacts that another run can inspect later.
Move that idea to local inference. What is the equivalent of a checklist for a route?
A root cut. It could be very simple at first. For each route, record what model artifact is behind it, which provider or local runtime serves it, what context capacity it really supports, how latency behaves under realistic prompts, what failure modes have appeared, and which task categories it should or should not handle. That becomes the routing memory.
So if Gemma 4 with draft prediction becomes faster in one environment, the root card captures the real result instead of the marketing claim.
Right, the root card should say what was measured, where, and for which task. If it was fast for short completions but weak for long context synthesis, that distinction matters. If it worked on a developer workstation but not on a small edge device, that matters. If a hosted provider exposes the same model name with different context behavior, that matters too.
That makes the hosted service paper more practical than it might first sound. It is not just a market measurement paper, it gives a vocabulary for root cards.
Yes. It says, stop pretending the model name is the whole object. For real users, the object is a service with behavior over time. Once you accept that, the right memory artifact is not only a model list, it is a service history.
What would you not put in that root card?
I would avoid vague impressions unless they are clearly labeled as observations. Feels better is less useful than met the JS on schema on 8 out of 10 runs or timed out on long prompts twice in the last evaluation. The point is not to make the card bureaucratic. The point is to make future routing less dependent on memory fog.
The benchmark lane reinforces that. Spec CPU 2000 fix may influence hardware buying, but it cannot answer every LLM serving question.
Exactly. CPU benchmarks matter, but language model serving also depends on memory bandwidth, acceleration support, quantization, runtime kernels, context length, and workload shape. The Edge model paper is useful because it combines efficiency, energy, and task quality. That kind of multi-dimensional measurement is closer to the actual decision.
I also like that it keeps us honest about local-first ideology. Local is valuable for privacy, control, and resilience, but it is not automatically the best answer for every task.
Local-first should be a routing preference, not a blind rule. Some tasks belong locally, because the data is sensitive or latency is acceptable. Some tasks belong on a hosted endpoint because the quality or context requirement is higher. Some tasks belong in a hybrid pattern. The only way to choose well is to record service behavior and evaluate the task.
Bring this back to the daily briefing as a product. What made today worth an audio episode rather than just a written note?
The items reinforce one another. The trail of bits checklist gives a positive pattern for agent memory. Mosaic Bench warns that agent work needs system-level testing. Gemma's speedup raises routing possibilities. The hosted service paper explains why routing must be service-aware. The benchmark sources remind us to measure the deployment surface. Together, they create a coherent operating model.
One more practical distinction. A root card and a checklist do not have to be perfect on day one. They just have to be specific enough to improve.
That is a good point. The first version can be humble. For the checklist, record the bug classes it is meant to catch and a few known examples. For the root card, record the tasks it was tried on. the rough latency, the context behavior, and whether the output was usable. Once those notes exist, later runs can refine them instead of reinventing the decision.
That also gives a way to respond when the evidence is uncertain. Instead of arguing whether a claim is finally true, the system can create a test that would change the posture.
Exactly. If Gemma draft prediction might help local routing, test it in the local runtime. If Mosaic Bench might map to the agent workflow, create a small stage task evaluation. If C review might help security review, run it against known samples. Each uncertain source becomes an experiment proposal, not a loose opinion.
That model is, trust the system only as far as its scaffolding, tests, and measurements justify, especially when the work crosses multiple tools, providers, and delegated tasks in one day.
Yes, it is a sober model, but not a pessimistic one. It says agents can become more useful when expert processes are encoded clearly. Local models can become more useful when speed and deployment fit are measured. Hosted services can become more useful when their behavior is tracked rather than assumed. That is a constructive path.
If Chris wanted to turn this into a week of follow-up work, what would the sequence be?
First, pick one checklist, backed code, review skill experiment. Second, build one small route card for a local and hosted model candidate. Third, define one composition, risk gate for multi-agent coding work. Fourth, log the outcomes in the wiki so the next briefing or automation run does not start from scratch.
That last step matters because otherwise the briefing creates attention but not compounding knowledge.
Exactly. The durable value is not just reading the sources. It is changing the system so future runs inherit better procedures and better route observations.
What would be the wrong lesson from today?
The wrong lesson would be agents are unsafe, or local models are fast now, or benchmarks tell us the answer. The better lesson is that capability becomes reliable through scaffolding. Expert checklists, compositional evaluations, service metadata, and workload-specific benchmarks are the scaffolding.
Let's put that into the broader memory frame. Durable agent memory is often discussed as retrieval, notes, documents, embeddings, and past conversations. Today's sources suggest a different emphasis.
They suggest that memory should include procedures and measurements. A checklist is memory. A benchmark result is memory. A routing observation is memory. A failed multi-step task is memory. The question is whether the system stores those things in a form that changes future behavior.
That is what makes the Trail of Bits item a good opener. The checklist is not just text, it is something an agent can apply.
And it is something humans can inspect. That matters. If the memory artifact is hidden inside a giant prompt, it is hard to audit. If it is a named skill with examples and limitations, it can be tested, patched, and retired when it stops working.
Mosaic Bench also becomes a memory artifact if we use it well. It can remind the orchestrator to inspect the sequence, not only the individual prompts.
Yes, you could imagine a gate that asks, did this set of changes create a new path from user input to privileged behavior? Did the combined diff weaken validation? Did one task prepare the exploitability of a later task? Those questions are exactly the kind of durable review pattern that should survive across runs.
For local inference, the same logic applies to benchmark notes.
Right. If Gemma 4 with draft prediction works well on one workstation but not another, that is not trivia. It is rude memory. If a hosted endpoint offers the same model but slower responses or different context behavior, that is also rude memory. The router should learn those facts deliberately.
Are there any claims we should explicitly not overstate before closing?
Several. Do not treat the Trail of Bits clawed skill as proven coverage. Do not treat Mosaic Bench's reported rates as settled until the benchmark is reviewed and reproduced. Do not assume Google's maximum speedup transfers to every runtime. Do not assume a hosted open-weight model is equivalent across providers. And do not assume Spec CPU tells you the answer to an LLM serving question by itself.
That is a lot of caveat, but it does not make the day weak. It makes the day useful.
Exactly. A useful briefing is not the one with the most certainty. It is the one that improves the next decision. Today improves the next decision by saying, encode expert process, evaluate composed outcomes, record service behavior, and benchmark the deployment you actually plan to run.
Let's make the close practical. The watch item for the next few days is whether these lanes get follow through. Does C-Review get examples beyond the walkthrough? Does Mose Bench get critique or replication? Do Gemma speedups appear in local runtimes? Do route managers expose service-level behavior?
And if those follow-ups arrive, the briefing should update the posture rather than replay the headline. The question is not, did something happen again? It is, did the evidence become strong enough to change what Chris should build, test, or route?
That is the episode for today. The short version is that trustworthy AI capability is becoming a systems problem. The tools are getting better, but the system around them has to remember expert procedures, test compose failures, and measure routes as services.
The practical next step is modest and valuable. Take one checklist, backed agent workflow, and one local or hosted route, then measure both with the same seriousness you would apply to production infrastructure. That is how the interesting sources from today become operational knowledge instead of just news.
Thanks for listening. The written briefing has the source links and the reading queue. The next signal to watch is whether today's strongest claims get reproducible follow-up or stay as useful but provisional leads. Outro music rises.